We welcome once again Jared Bowen. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
Well, today we're talking about Japanese Fashion, a Tony Award-winning Broadway musical and a play about swindler Bernie Madoff. That's quite a combination.
There's a lot going on.
Let's start with the Japanese Fashion.
This is a really interesting show. It's at the Peabody Essex Museum. It's the only East Coast venue, and I'm getting to it a little bit late. You can only see it through January 26th, and I cannot recommend it enough, especially if you love fashion. As I always love with these museum exhibitions, pieces, there's a great story behind it, and that is in the early 1980s, the Japanese designers decided that they wanted to upend the fashion world. They wanted to change everything and have a revolution, and they did. They came forward with these designs that were like nothing that had ever been seen before in the fashion world. Paris was just beside themselves with what they were looking at. I talked to the chief curator, Linda Roscoe Hartigan, about the impact that these Japanese designers had on the Parisian fashion world and their reaction.
There were words like apocalyptic and bombed and, my God, this stuff looks like clothes and why is this beautiful? But that was precisely what the Japanese were after. You know, they went into the center of the fashion world and they believed that there was a different way to look at beauty and that it was time to just have an entirely different silhouette and form and approach to the body.
I know this might be hard to do on the radio, but what do these fashions look like?
Well, some of them, it's easier than you think because one of the things they tried to do is depict black and white and absence, which they do with these, literally with black and white, these forms. There are also these very, very sculptural pieces. One of the first pieces that you encounter in the show is this dress that looks like a big puff of smoke. I mean, it really looks like it has been crafted out of steel or something. And then as you walk your way through, you see different sort of epochs in Japanese design. There's also the Lumps and Bumps collection, which is the antithesis of bringing sexy back because it has these really form-fitting clothes, but lumps and bumps in very, very strange places. And it's taking a look at the contrary nature of beauty, as Linda Roscoe Hartigan was saying. And then it ends with something that we all know very well, which is anime, which is still very much the forefront of fashion and the streets of the cities in Japan.
Future Beauty is the, I love that title too. It's the title of the exhibit on view at the Peabody Essex Museum. Always a fascinating place to visit up there for sure. Next, we turn to the winner of 8 2012 Tony Awards, including Best Musical. It's titled Once, and it's coming here to Boston.
And it just opened last night. And actually, this is a bit of a homecoming. I'm not sure that everyone realizes, but this piece was actually workshopped at the ART in Cambridge before going to Broadway, and as you mentioned, winning all of these Tonys. It's the same director of The Glass Menagerie, also at ART. So you can only imagine what John Tiffany has done here. This is a very, very simple and beautiful piece, triumphant production. It's based on the 2006 film, and you have these two characters. They're named Guy and Girl. That's their listing in the playbill. And they meet in Dublin, and they make music and fall in love. I mean, of course, I'm oversimplifying it because there's baggage that essentially each brings. But you see these two figures, and really they are center stage throughout this production. You see them come together and these nuances, and you see how music is the form of expression and music is love here, and this is the best way for them to communicate. And music really is at the centerpiece of this production. All of the actors on stage play their instruments. Both of the leads here, Stuart Ward and Donnie Duvall, fantastic as Guy and Girl, fantastic as musicians.
Wow.
And this is also the antithesis of any big splashy Broadway show. And this is what's so great about this is everything nowadays has these gigantic sets and everything has to be over the top and crazy. This really is very, very simple. It all takes place in a barroom with this simple choreography that takes you from space to space. And I tell you, Bob, you cannot leave this production after the last note without sort of giving yourself completely emotionally over. It's so beautiful.
What's the music like?
It's just this great Irish music, and it's a lot of the music from the film, including the Oscar-winning song "Falling Slowly," which is one of my favorite songs. I just can't say enough about it.
Okay, Once is the production, and it's presented by Broadway in Boston, playing at the Boston Opera House through January 19th. Next, a play about Bernie Madoff.
Yeah, well, it's a very interesting time for this with the settlement with J.P. Morgan this week of over $2 billion for their role in the Madoff Ponzi scheme. But this is a play. It's at New Repertory Theater, and it was a bit controversial when it started because the playwright, Deborah Margolin, originally, as I mentioned, it's called Imagining Madoff. She originally imagined a conversation between Elie Wiesel, who was one of the Ponzi scheme victims, and Bernie Madoff.
Wow.
He took umbrage to that, so she took him out of the play. So now it's this conversation between Bernie Madoff and a fictional poet and Holocaust survivor. This is a pretty powerful piece, and I think it may have also been controversial because why would you give words to such a villain like this? I mean, a truly despicable character. But I love what she has done. Over the course of about 90 minutes, you see this conversation between these two men, and you see her interpretation of what he may have wrestled with. What inspired this? I mean, what does he look at as moral reference points? What is his compass? How does he look at other things in life in terms of contention and conflict? And you see this teased out over these 90 minutes, and it makes you think. I mean, it could really all be fictional. I mean, some of it may have actually happened, and she does sort of anticipate what it has done to his family, and of course later one of his sons committed suicide. But I just love the way that she gets into this person's brain, and it really makes you think. And Jerry Kissel, who plays Bernie Madoff, is captivating. He's utterly despicable just from the very beginning. He has a smug look that in this way that he carries himself, but not in a cartoonish way. I mean, you see why he thinks the way he does. It's a very thought-provoking piece.
All right. Imagining Madoff at the New Repertory Theater through January 26th. Now, well, most of us are kind of schlepping around Boston for the Christmas holiday. Jared takes off for the Netherlands in one of his favorite places.
I did. I have very dear friends over there, and so I spent my post-holidays over there, and one of the reasons I was so excited to go to Amsterdam was to see the Rijksmuseum, which was just recently closed for 10 years.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Largely closed. They had a couple galleries open, which I had visited. It was actually sort of fun because you got to see this whole museum in about 20 minutes, including all the highlights. But now after 10 years and a near $500 million restoration, the museum has reopened. It is vibrant and gorgeous and beautiful. Oh. And, Bob, I've got to tell you, one of the things that really struck me is I waited in line for about a half hour, and that is having a ticket. The next morning, I was in the museum area again, and the line had doubled. I mean, people are waiting hours to get into this museum. And with this renovation now, which is harkened back to the original structure of the museum, it is truly glorious and has become one of the great museums of the world, as if it wasn't already.
I know.
And they have the Gallery of Honor, which is where Rembrandt's Night Watch lives. And to see that piece in this huge gallery surrounded by all of these other great Vermeers, other Franz Hall, all these other Dutch masters, is just truly overpowering.
And we should mention, I saw the big line around the Frick Museum in New York, everybody waiting to see the girl with the pearl earring, which is there.
Which is normally in Holland as well.
I know, huge turnout in New York for that. Okay, next, a much-anticipated movie about the...
Actually, I have to stop you just for a second, because I also saw the Van Gogh Museum in Holland, which is... I don't know where else you can have this experience, where you can go into a museum and see a one person's entire life's work. And of course, Van Gogh is so poignant because it was just about 10 years, and you see his career from beginning to end as you move across these floors. Also a very, very powerful experience and a museum I cannot recommend highly enough.
Okay, great. Both in Amsterdam. Now we turn back to the good old USA and August Osage County. What's the movie like?
Yeah, this opens tomorrow, and of course, you're probably familiar with the Pulitzer Prize-winning play. I have to say, it's terrific.
Really?
Tracy Letts, who won the Pulitzer, wrote the play, has also written the screenplay here. And it's sort of a different piece because basically what this is you see Meryl Streep's family arrive in this closed-up home in Oklahoma, and the first thing they do is throw open the drapes, open the shutters, and let all this light in. And what it really does is expose this horrible family for what they are.
They overturn the rock.
Yeah, and it has a cast of Hollywood's greatest actors, Julia Roberts, Meryl Streep, Dermot Mulroney, Chris Cooper, and a scene that will go down in movie history, a dinner scene where Julia Roberts ends up tackling Meryl Streep to the ground because all of these family issues finally come to the fore because of the way Meryl Streep and her horrible, vitriolic character has attacked her family. It sounds horrible what I'm describing. It's a drama, but it's very, very funny. It's a black comedy.
Wow. Okay. So that's Osage, August County, opening tomorrow everywhere. And tomorrow night, we have Open Studio with Jared on WGBH2 at 8:30. you have up for that?
Well, I just mentioned the musical once. You can see my interview with the two very, very charming stars of that show. Also, we preview Acoustica Electronica, which is a piece that looks like classical music, but mixes it up in house and trance club style.
Okay, tomorrow night at 8:30 on WGBH2, and Jared, we'll see you next Thursday.
Thanks Bob.